Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. If something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. This past summer, I experienced an example of this when I did a 5K run at American Family Field, the home of the Milwaukee Brewers baseball team. One of the perks of registering for this race was that all participants would receive a free ticket they could redeem for a future Brewers game. A few days later, I was excited to redeem my free ticket, only to find that there would be a redemption fee, processing fee, and order fee. In the end, my free ticket cost me $8, not to mention the $15 parking on top of it. While I still enjoyed my visit to that game a few weeks later, it certainly was not free, and it certainly wasn't as good of a deal as it sounded at first. Now, I'm sure you've seen advertisements or promotions that sound too good to be true. But when we think about the grace of our God, that old adage does not ring true. God's grace is not too good to be true. No, God's grace is good, and it's true. In fact, God's grace is even better than we can imagine. And so today, let us marvel at God's incomprehensible grace, which is given to those who don't deserve it, and given by one who loves to send it. Today, we're looking at the final chapter of the book of Jonah. Now, up to this point in his life, Jonah had experienced quite a few ups and downs. God had called him to preach to the people of Nineveh. But Jonah rejected that call. He even tried to run away from God's call by fleeing on a boat. Then came the whole episode with the terrible storm, Jonah being thrown overboard and then swallowed by a huge fish. Once the fish spit Jonah out onto dry land toward Nineveh, Jonah did go to Nineveh, and he preached repentance to the people. And the Ninevites, they repented. The king of Nineveh led the people in fasting, putting on sackcloth, and calling urgently on God for mercy. And this is where our reading for today picks up the story. We're told that God saw what the Ninevites did. He saw their repentant hearts, and he relented. He did not destroy them as he had threatened. Now, I've heard it said that the Ninevites' repentance is the greatest miracle in the book of Jonah, even greater than the whole thing with Jonah and the fish. And really, I think the repentance of the Ninevites could probably be considered one of the greatest miracles in the whole Bible. You see, Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrians were notorious in the ancient world for their cruelty. When the Assyrians conquered an enemy territory, they terrorized the citizens. They used torture and brutality to strike fear into the hearts of the people. The Assyrians even gloried in their savagery, leaving behind artwork and sculptures depicting their horrible actions. Yes, the Ninevites may well have been the unlikeliest people to repent and turn to God for mercy, and yet they did. Here we see God's incomprehensible grace on full display. Only God's miraculous grace could explain the sudden change of heart of the Ninevites, people who definitely did not deserve God's grace and yet nevertheless received it. And now we get to Jonah's reaction to this gracious act of God. At first, we might question how Jonah could be upset with God for sparing Nineveh. But remember, Jonah lived at a time when he saw the Ninevites' brutality on full display. He surely was familiar with the reputation the Ninevites had for brutality. He may have been afraid of the possibility that the Ninevites would invade his own land and terrorize his friends, neighbors, and family. Yes, if we were in Jonah's shoes, it might be easy to wish for the destruction of such wicked people as the Ninevites. And we too live at a time when sin is on display, when sin is not just tolerated or accepted, it's even celebrated. When I go around this very community, I see houses and businesses proudly displaying the pride flag, which could be considered a public celebration of sin. And in general, we live in a society that is becoming much more indifferent toward God, even hostile to Him. Yes, when we see people celebrating sin and rejecting God, it might be easy to react like Jonah did, with self-righteous anger. And of course, it's true that God hates sin and He will hold people accountable for their sin. But God is the one who will punish. Our job is to lovingly reach out to the sinners around us in the hopes that they will repent, that God will spare them from destruction. Yes, when we try to take the place of God and we self-righteously burn with anger against others, we first need to look at ourselves. And if we're being honest, we'll quickly see that we have no right to complain, just like Jonah had no right to complain. Our lives are filled with sins, public and private. We too deserve God's judgment. We too deserve God's eternal destruction. The only reason we're not under that judgment is because of God's incomprehensible grace. God showed that grace to Jonah, even though he didn't deserve it. After all, Jonah had disobeyed God's call to preach to Nineveh. He tried to run away from God, and yet God delivered him from the belly of the huge fish. God was gracious to Jonah, even though Jonah didn't deserve it. And God is gracious to you and me, even though we don't deserve it. So we have seen God's grace given to people who clearly don't deserve it. The Ninevites, Jonah, and each one of us. What can we do but marvel at this wonderful fact? God gives His amazing grace to me, even though I have done nothing to deserve it. So let's marvel at that fact, that God gives His grace to unworthy sinners like us. But let's also marvel at God Himself, who loves to send us that amazing grace. Jonah himself in our reading acknowledges that God is by nature gracious. Did you catch it in his prayer in verse 2? Jonah said, "I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." This type of description of God is repeated elsewhere in the Bible. In Exodus 34, God speaks of Himself as a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. God is gracious. His very nature is to show grace, to show love. Now, of course, Jonah, his twisted mind turned this amazing truth about God's nature into a bad thing. He thought this grace of God was unfair. He even said that he would rather die than live and see God's grace. How contrary the gracious nature of God is to the corrupted nature of humans like Jonah and like us. Yes, Jonah acted a lot like the workers in the gospel reading we heard today, who started first thing in the morning and then grumbled about the generosity of the employer when he paid everyone the same wages. Much like those workers, Jonah failed to appreciate the generous grace of God. And here is when God provides an object lesson for Jonah. God provides a leafy plant to give Jonah shade, which makes Jonah happy. Then God provides a worm to chew and kill the plant, which makes Jonah angry. God questions Jonah about his anger over the plant. "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And Jonah again says he wishes he were dead. Then God makes his point. He says in verse 10, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" God is trying to make Jonah appreciate his grace to Nineveh. Jonah cared about that plant and about himself more than he cared about the people of Nineveh, people whom God created. God loved those people. God cares for all his creation, even the animals. Dear friends, let's always remember and appreciate God's grace, his love for this world and for the people living in it. Yes, when we think about God's nature, we of course think about his grace. The people of Nineveh, Jonah, and each one of us have been shown grace. We have been spared God's wrath and punishment. We also know that God is by nature just. He must punish sin. Jonah knew it. As a prophet of God, Jonah knew about God's promise also to send a Messiah. He looked forward to the coming Savior with the rest of the believing Israelites. And we have seen the benefit, and we have the benefit, of seeing that Messiah. He's come in the person of Jesus. Jesus bore our sins on himself. He suffered the punishment that those sins deserved on the cross of Calvary. God's justice was satisfied. The punishment for sins was carried out. In Jesus' cross, we see at the same time God's justice being carried out, but also his incomprehensible grace. Yes, Jesus' death on the cross is the single climactic point in history where God's justice and God's grace are both on full display. Truly, this love, this grace of God is worth marveling at because it brings us forgiveness and life. Yes, in Jesus we see that God is clearly concerned about his creation, especially about the people he created. And shouldn't we also be concerned about our fellow neighbors, people who God created? Let us take to heart God's lesson to Jonah so that we might have concern for those around us. God has shown us grace. Don't be like Jonah. Don't claim God's grace all for yourself and self-righteously sit back hoping that God will rain fire on the wicked. Instead, remember that the people living those sinful lifestyles are a lot like the people of Nineveh. They don't know their right hand from their left. They're spiritually lost, spiritually confused. And God sends each one of us, like he sent Jonah, to lovingly show them their sin, to show them that they've behaved in ways that makes them undeserving of God's grace, but also to tell them that God gives them his grace anyway. He sent his Son to pay the penalty for sin and make all of us right with God. With love and with concern for those around us, we can share the amazing truth of God's grace, grace that God has shown even to us. Dear friends, it remains true that many deals and promotions that we see in the world around us are just too good to be true. But as we've seen today, God's grace doesn't just sound good. It is good. In fact, it's even better than we can imagine. God gives it to sinful people who've done nothing to deserve it or earn it. Sinful people like each one of us. And God has given us that grace because being gracious is who he is. Our God is gracious. He loves us more than we could ever imagine. Let's always rejoice and give thanks to the gracious God we have. Amen.